Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 540. This is a hostful podcast, Kyle.
Ooh, a hostful.
Yeah. Just the hosts.
Oh.
Full of us.
Or special guest Matt Myra.
Fuck you for pointing that out. Matt's been working so hard.
I see him every day.
I know. I do too.
Just watch at midnight.
He's working right now. He's in his office typing away right now, making internet funnies for the Comedy Central Midnight people. But we recorded this, I feel like a month ago, right? Like three weeks ago, maybe?
It was a while back.
Yeah, it wasn't. Normally, I like to do a hostful like the couple days before it goes up, so it's super current. But this is this one's quite a few weeks old. Super fun, you know. I love hanging out with the sister wives and getting together. We're doing more hostels, but we will. We're gonna have a 2-week hiatus for At Midnight.
We got that sweet update on the sister wives live show.
Yeah, we did, which was great. And so we'll do some more hostels when I'm on break, quote unquote. This episode is brought to you by Squarespace. The all-in-one platform makes it fast and easy to create your own professional website, a portfolio, or online store. They're constantly improving their platform with new features, new designs, even better support. And they have beautiful designs for you to start with and all the style options you need to create a unique website for you or your business. They make it easy. You want to take a lot of the guesswork out of this. You just need something that's simple and elegant and functional and intuitive for people. And if you don't know how to do that, they will help you. All right. They have an amazing support team that works 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plans start at just $8 a month. That includes a free domain name if you sign up for a year. And every design also, by the way, this is very important because of the rising percentage of mobile consumption that's happening. It includes a unique mobile experience that matches the overall style of your website. So your content's going to be consistent and look great on every device. All right, it's design focused, support, easy, responsive, easily connect accounts. Squarespace is the way to go. So what you're gonna do is you're gonna start your trial, no credit card required. You're gonna start building your website. When you decide to sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code Nerdist to get 10% off and also to show your support for the Nerdist podcast. We'd like to thank Squarespace for their support. Squarespace, everything you need to create an exceptional website. And now here's Nerdist Podcast number 540, Hostful Goodness.
Yay!
Fuck yeah, yay.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Konnichiwa, Jonas-san, Matthew-san.
Wow. Getting ready for that fun trip to Tokyo.
I don't know when that's going to be.
August sounds good. Let's do it.
I can't.
Oh, what did you decide to do for your break now? You going to shoot a movie or something? What are you doing?
No. Who wants to have me in a movie?
I don't know. You're charming. I think your face is very nice.
You doing a movie in August?
I could.
Okay. Let's do it.
Oh, completely unrelated. I need to borrow like $2 million.
What are you going to do with it?
Blow.
It's a writing process.
You want it fast, right?
I might do a bunch of dates
in August.
Oh, all right.
I might do a bunch of dates.
We're around.
Yes.
The audience knows that.
Yes.
Okay.
I know, but I want to shoot a special next year, so I gotta do time.
It's not like you don't do 40 minutes at the top of every live Nerdist podcast. You got your time, buddy.
40 minutes?
No, but he does like 5 shows in a weekend.
Yeah, I get 5 shows in a weekend as opposed to one show.
That's true.
I know how to
talk about that because that's what I have to tell kids that show up. Why don't you guys go on tour? It's like, well, because Chris needs to. I'm real good at explaining it.
Well, the other problem is it's venues are not as easy to find.
Yeah, you hate the Nerdist fans.
No,
that's what you were gonna say, guys. Isn't that weird that he was gonna say that?
I don't feel like that's what
listeners.
I'm not gonna take sides, but it did seem like it could go either way.
Well, as the person who had to plan the last
tour,
I can tell you that it's actually not as easy as it sounds because people go, "Why don't you just come to this place instead?" I'm like, "Well, you can't because you have to go through a promoter. Because if you don't, then you have to carry all the insurance yourself.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
it's fucking.
We still
and you have to ask the venue.
You can't just show up.
No.
They don't.
Guys, we still
it.
Owe. Pittsburgh show.
We do owe Pittsburgh a
oh,
show.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know Pittsburgh shit.
Oh. Put that in your script.
Jonah and I will be out to Pittsburgh. We'll make up for it.
From what you guys said, your show was amazing.
It was really a lot of fun,
and I'm very happy to hear that.
Yeah, that was a good time.
You said you did no stand up. It was just just fucking around the whole time.
Yeah, we drove out together, and so the whole time we were trying to figure out should we do this or should we how should we structure the show, and then I think like 20 minutes before, we're like, let's just go up there and then feel it out. Yeah. And it was like nonstop riffing the whole time. It was a lot amazing. Of fun.
It was, the crowd response was great. Everyone there was great. We sold a lot of tickets. Yeah. It was incredible.
A lot of people like played into the dynamic, which was fun too. Yeah, like people like when we took questions, we called them comptions. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
That's amazing.
It was kind of fun because like people were, you know, playing into that's like, you know, like who, like state your allegiance. Kind
yeah,
of
like it was like we would try, and then like we started trying to like figure out by how they were dressed who yeah. they're going to be a fan of.
Yeah, breaking it down. Well, he has this, so you might lean.
And then there was one dude that so like great. There was one dude that had like longish hair, and was like, oh, he could go either way. He's got this shirt, but this facial hair.
Yeah, it was fun, and everyone's really.
You don't
really
have this fucking anchor dragging you guys down. The funny ones can go on tour now. No, it's good. I fully support you guys doing that. Because I think I think it's, you know, then you don't have me there being like,
Chris, we love you. It's a team of three.
Okay,
but if we have to do it separately,
then you can do that
then
separately.
We'll have to
so then, what are you?
It's
so
just a pickup game.
What are you going to do with the? What are you going to do with the audio file?
If I can clean it up, which is a huge pain in the ass.
There was a hum. You can take the. Can't you use like so?
Well,
what's
here's the thing.
App?
You
so
can
there's
do
also
it,
a rattle.
So you can do it like, but the compression.
God damn. You too.
Thanks. It's way too like the compression comes out weird though. Everything sounds super.
You want to know? Oh, he didn't.
All right, I'll give you the file. Oh, I'm gonna give Katie the file. Everybody.
Yeah. Right now, what he's trying to figure out the tech.
Doesn't
part.
Matter. They'll just do.
You
what
gotta find
doing.
The jokes, Chris. You gotta get through.
What do you mean? Yeah.
Phil the jokes.
Phil.
Joanu. Phil Joanu.
3 o'clock high.
Oh. Always comes back to 3 o'clock high with him.
It's a great fucking movie.
So I'm going to give you the files, Katie. And then as soon as we give the file cleaned up, and if it's listenable enough, like if the audio is good enough, Joan and I will make it available for everyone to purchase.
It was fun. It's 90 minutes of pure hilarity.
Hour 33 on the nose.
So you're going to sell it. You're going to sell it for like a buck.
Not very much money. Yeah, whatever we can get away with. Like we were thinking maybe name your price. I was thinking, but then I was thinking, well, if I'm selling for $2 on iTunes, that's the cheapest you can sell something. So maybe we'll do that. We'll see.
iTunes gets a pretty hefty cut of that.
Yeah, half, well, right?
I don't think it's half. I think it might be like 30% or something.
All right. So it's $3. What are you going to do? An hour and a half of hilariousness and some Comptions.
Comptions.
Sounds.
What's up? What's the matter?
It sounds gross.
Comptions?
Yeah.
Well.
It's close to gumption.
Yeah.
It sounds like, to me, it sounds like a robot prematurely ejaculated. Like a Comption. Sounds like.
Yeah.
Comption.
I'm going to Comption this. Over your facial. I'm trying to think of a
this
robot.
This has never processed before.
For me, when a robot ejaculates, it sounds like a hydraulic line broke.
Oh, like the beginning of that Beck song?
When a robot ejaculates, it sounds like a Michael Bay film.
Neat.
Neat.
But there's that Beck song in Midnight Vultures where it's just like, it was like woo, 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 woo.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's
supposed to be robots.
We'll listen to some Beck, by the way.
I'm sorry, that was Guero.
Oh, Guero.
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 And then there's Guerrilito, which is the remixed
That
album.
Has probably like that 8-bit remix of
Girl?
No. Maybe it is Girl. There's a couple 8-bit remixes.
I like a song that has Christina Ricci in it.
Give me some love. That one?
No, it's the one. Why can't I remember things anymore?
Use the brain, Chris.
No, I'll use the phone, Joan.
One guy's yelling at the radio right now. It's Beck.
Yeah.
He's a big fan of our podcast.
Listen to our podcast.
And his space car.
Beck, if you're out there in your space car, why don't you drop your spaceship over here?
Hell yes.
Yes, that's the one I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Give me some.
Please enjoy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this one. How long do you think we can play this before people get mad?
Ha! Tweet my nipple. That's like one of my favorite. It's like
my nipple.
Like from that's one of the songs on Midnight Vultures. Ooh, hot milk. Tweak my nipple. Champagne is simple. Sales go triple. We drive lobotomy beats. Evaporated streets. Yeah, something like that, right?
You
gonna wait till after we're done recording to tell me how wrong I am on something again? I don't think you know what preferences are. Oh, you know when you've confidently said that one thing that thousands of people will hear?
You know, Kyle has perfected the earnest fuck you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very earnest. Oh, it's an earnest laugh.
You're not on mic.
That was actually going to be the last Jim Varney movie, Ernest Fuck You.
Ernest Fuck
You. And then he had to go and not live anymore.
Well, you know,
when you,
30
when
packs
you started,
a day will do that.
When you started to date Janet, how long until you asked if she had any relation to Jim Varney?
Oh, that was before we started dating. That was like the first question. Wait,
and her answer was, we're not related, but for some reason when I was younger, I used to tell people we were related.
That's
just
great.
For fun.
Oh, that's the best answer possible, I
yeah.
think, right?
So she did used to tell people that they were related.
That's really funny.
Maybe the best answer possible is I'm the heir to the Varney fortune.
Yeah.
The vast,
the
Varney,
vast
fortune.
Varney fortune.
I feel like it could have been pretty vast. He did a shit ton
of
stuff.
Yeah, he did plenty of work.
I mean, if he owned a piece of the Ernest movies and they all did, you know, they couldn't have cost much to make, he probably made it. He was probably worth
$40, $50?
Yeah.
Yeah.
$40
or $50.
That's what I'm saying the budget was of those movies.
I don't know. A pretty hefty budget on Scared Stupid.
Well, Scared Stupid's got a lot of practical effects.
In the camp, they had to build a camp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. They couldn't just go to a camp.
No, camps are expensive.
Even though that's the title of the movie, they couldn't go to a camp.
No, but Hollywood would want to just build a camp, not just go to a camp.
Let's just build a camp.
It's more expensive that way.
Well, that's the funny detail about when they made Wet Hot American Summer is that they used a real camp, but it was they had to use it when it wasn't being used, and it still had to kind of look like summer. So, but you just see it's just like freezing cold and soaking wet everywhere.
And constantly
it's like
raining.
You see breath coming out of everyone's mouth.
Oh, shit.
And they're all in short shorts and tank tops.
Cold, dry American summer?
Yeah.
Mm. It was wet, though. It was pretty wet.
For my pussy.
That's one of my favorite jokes.
Yeah.
Pick up some lube. Yeah. For my pussy.
One of my favorites. I said no. Just
the hardest I laugh in that movie is Paul Rudd picking up the plate. Just the way he picks up the plate.
That's so good.
Just in talking about things that make us laugh a lot, I watched all of Silicon Valley, and it's fucking incredible.
How about that season finale, that long dick joke?
That is the best, without giving any spoilers, the greatest, most complex that actually serves the story dick joke in the history of entertainment.
It was
jokes.
It was like a joke that was also manufactured to like be specifically for you, Chris Hardwick. A dick joke that's all about Matt.
I was watching it with Chloe, and as that scene began to unfold, I spotted it. What was going to happen before it happened, and I could not stop myself. I'd be like,
"Yeah,
no!" Yeah. Like what? Yeah, it's, this is what I'm always talking about.
But what if they're at different heights? How
God
long is it going to take
it
to organize?
So good. But I just
you can get four at a time. Now,
but
can Kumail's, you save any
but
time
Kumail's
on the
upstroke? Fucking when they see the Pied Piper logo, they're like, it looks like he's and he's got another ear tucked behind his dick for later. A snack dick.
Yeah,
snack dick. but my favorite, the thing I love about the show is that I'm actually moderating a panel for it tonight.
Oh, great!
For the TV Academy. And but the thing that I love about it is that all the characters have a really strong point of view.
Is that how you watch things, only if you have to moderate a panel?
I was
thinking the same thing. I'll tell you what. It's sort of like... It's
a good excuse.
It's a good excuse to... Like, that's one of the reasons why I do it, because it helps me... I know this sounds crazy, like I should just take leisure time, but work reasons actually motivate me to do stuff faster. So it actually... It's very helpful to me to have that, because I can focus and sit down and actually... Mm.
Yeah,
you know,
soak it in more.
Soak it what?
Soak it in.
Yeah, soak it in. Exactly. And so, yes, a lot of times I'm watching things for work reasons, but I'm finding ways to make things like work reasons. I sound crazy.
No. I mean, you got to, like, it's you've turned it into a passion. But
it's helped me kind of cram everything in it at once as opposed to...
Cram it!
Yeah.
I'll tell you, it's the same mechanism where if I don't have a stand-up show coming up, I won't just sit down and be like, what's funny?
Yeah,
but if I have a show coming up, I will fucking sit down and focus. Like, I work really well with a fire, a figurative fire under me.
Mm-hmm.
Not a literal fire. No one works well that way.
No.
Well,
a literal fire.
Train engines.
But I love no one, no person. Trains aren't people.
Sure.
Are
well,
they people
maybe
now?
To you.
Are trains
I mean,
people now?
I watched Thomas the Tank Engine.
Human torch.
He seems like a human.
Well, he's not a train.
Yeah.
But he works well with a fire
under
him.
Fire, yeah.
Well, he works well in a fire.
Yeah, but when he
well, like
flies
anybody
up in the air, there's
works
flames.
Hellboy too.
Anybody who works in a boiler room, you know?
Hellboy works no, they're next to it. It's not under them, though.
Hmm. Freddy Krueger works well under fire.
Dream fire. Not real fire.
He didn't work too well. Didn't seem to agree with his face.
But it made him look distinguished.
You know, he riffed the line "Welcome to Primetime, Bitch" from the third one. Dream Warriors? No?
Dream Warriors is a great, great one.
Did I know that he improvised that line? No, I did not know that. Follow-up, not that surprising.
We're the Dream Warriors.
That's the best one. I'm sorry, but it is.
You know what? It's my favorite one. Close second, though, because I watched it so many times. Because it was on TV so much. It was Dream Master, the next one.
Mm.
Was that with the kid?
No, that was Dream Child. That one
I just like. I just like me some Heather Langenkamp.
It was Dream Weaver. Yeah.
Song?
That was Gary
it's
Wright.
A thing that can help you get through the night. At least as far as I believe.
I went to an amazing show last night at a theater that I did not know existed, that I feel stupid for not knowing.
It's called The Egyptian.
Not called The Egyptian. Essentially, there's this theater. Katie, look up Magic Theater Los Angeles. It's loosely tied to the Magic Castle, mm-hmm. and it was built in the 30s, and it's this gorgeous house in Hancock Park, and there is a magic theater in it.
I've heard of this.
And it's amazing. Randy Pitchford from Gearbox and his wife Christy basically put on a variety, because it's E3 this week, so they put on this variety show for a small number of people, and it was this like magic variety show, and it was fucking incredible.
That sounds fun.
Brooklidge. It's gorgeous.
Does it have the right zoning permits?
I don't know. What do I work for the city?
Well, let's just tell everyone about it.
You're giving it up?
Let's just tell everybody about it right now.
Brooklidge. No, I'd say, it's a...
Oh, it's zoned.
Hey, what's up, Noseblow?
Sorry.
Right on the mustache.
What's wrong, buddy? Did you get travel sick again?
I did. It's like...
Why does your immune system quit on you?
Can you get me some toilet paper? Yeah. Blow my nose? I'm sorry. I know I was being mean to you.
Use toilet paper? Oh, now you're nice to him when you wanted to get your toilet paper.
I just pointed it out.
He's always
nice. I said, "Can you get me some? Do you mind getting me some stuff?" Even though I just made fun of you.
Okay, good. Well, that's really not an apology, but
maybe Kyle
also,
deserved it. Maybe Kyle deserved it.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
It was mean to me.
It is. You do enjoy the pecking order. You do enjoy it.
Not at all.
Yeah, at least a little bit. How was Bloomington?
It was great.
Bloomington.
Back to the fact, I don't enjoy the pecking order. He doesn't know his place.
You enjoy his lack of understanding of the pecking order.
Yes, exactly. Not that there is one.
Yeah, right. But if there were,
but he's
it would
down.
Be me, Chris,
oh,
then you.
Here comes.
Yeah.
So, what's
Thanks, buddy.
It's a lot of toilet paper.
No, that's good.
It gets stuck in the beard and mustache. I get that.
Yeah. Bloomington was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. It's a gorgeous town.
Good comedy town, too.
Good comedy town. There was some fun shows. Ron Funches was there headlining the club,
mm-hmm.
So it was nice to hang out with him. But then I also got a guy to take me to this guy, Chip, to take me to the Breaking Away
quarry.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go. Like, I loved that movie.
Oh, I saw your Instagram. I saw that it was there. And then I also saw that Judah Friedlander did the same thing.
It was really great. It was gorgeous. I fell pretty hard while climbing around that place. I fell on my hand pretty bad. Started to see this.
Oh, that is really fucked up.
Yeah.
That's like all bruised and black and...
Yeah, it's only probably going to get worse.
Bro, how are you jerking off?
Other hand. Good. I'm ambidextrous when it comes to jerking off.
Good.
I'm intelligent in one thing. But the it could have been way worse when I slipped. My left foot like went in between two rocks and like I fell. Like, so I could easily just like broke an ankle or a leg.
And then all of a sudden it's
then you have to get hella lifted out of the
Well, it's like, you know, it wouldn't be that bad, but the guy that I was with like had knee surgery not too long ago and had a cane, so it's like he wouldn't have been any help. And neither would the good old boys on ATVs that were on the other side of the quarry.
It'd be like the what's the 21 hours, what's the movie?
128 hours.
Even like Whitewater Summer,
something like that.
You would have had to saw your plaid shirt off to get out of there.
That's true.
Bloomington's great. It's such a culturally, like, the food in Bloomington is incredible.
Yeah. Oh, you've talked about this before. They have that strip of Indian food, right?
Not just Indian food. There's, like, Afghani food, the amazing Afghani food, like, right in
that
the town square.
That doesn't interest me. I'm talking about the Indian food.
No, it's good. It's all good.
I went to a vegetarian vegan place called the Owry.
Yeah, the Owry. The Owry's great. It's like an old house that they've turned into a...
No. Maybe it used to be, but now it's like right in that town square across the street from the courthouse.
Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I also went to, I saw a house show, Planet X.
Oh, from an old house. They turned it from an old house.
Yeah.
That's my new bit.
I went to Planet X Records house, which is like a label I've been listening to bands from for a long time. And there was a few like kind of acoustic-y.
They built it from old house music.
Yes, they did.
Come on.
I got it.
Okay, thanks.
Barrel and Ford. I'm barely keeping it together, Chris.
I'm so sorry.
I saw this guy, Eric Ayotte, A-Y-O-T-T-E, and awesome voice, really cool songs, and I like really, really good stuff.
Oh, I saw that in your feed. They're basically, yeah. It was just like a tiny room of with a show.
Yeah, yeah, and it was supposed to be like in the backyard, but it was kind of raining on and off, so everyone just kind of, and there's not that there was a ton of people there, but so everyone kind of squeezed into this like small room and played. It was really nice and intimate. He was telling stories in between, and it was really, really good musician. And then like last night I was there, I swung by this other show at the Root Cellar where I got to see a band's first show, and they were called Gnarly Davidson.
And how were they?
Really good.
And it was their first show?
It was their first show, and they were really good. And then there was another band called Frankie and the Witchfingers. And it was just like, yeah, a lot of good music there. Really good scene.
Which, like Coven, or which, like, which ones?
Mm-hmm.
Which fingers? Like which fingers? Or
like a Coven. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Coven.
Like if you put bugles on your fingertips.
Oh, I forgot that was a thing I used to do. Sure also, is. I forgot about bugles. Are there still bugles?
Yeah, there are.
Is there a Fuck Yeah Bugles Tumblr?
Oh, there should be. God damn, bugles are good.
Let's make it.
It's like Fritos, but in a cone.
I fill it up with Cheese Whiz, eat them like that, make my own combos.
Whoa.
Joe, that's a game changer
for me. Fucking combo hipster.
Yeah, I know. I just always change the game. Pepperoni.
I like an original bugle. I don't like anything else in it. Or the cheddar. Have you had the cheddar ones?
No.
Don't. Don't worry about it.
I'd be fine with like a salt and vinegar or a pizza flavored one.
What is your pizza flavor situation? I don't care for pizza flavor. It never tastes like pizza.
No, it doesn't.
It's just basil.
It's just a spicy.
I just appreciate the
spicy.
You like the pepperoni pizza bugle?
Did they have that?
Yeah.
Oh.
Where have you been? Your snack game's out of date, my friend.
I know. Well, I don't eat snacks that often.
Pepperoni bugles came out in like the 90s, like 1993.
It's kind of a hype bugle time
for you.
That
was like right where you were right in the wheel zone. You're probably like combo, combo, leather jacket, combo, combo.
The wheel zone?
So the leather jacket
it's
was...
like a wheel, house, and
so
a
in
zone?
That in that scenario, the leather jacket was the combo break? Come on, guys. But no, why wouldn't I make that joke?
I like the wheel zone, Jonah. I think it's great.
I know. It's a cool term.
Yeah, thanks.
Chris.
Jonah.
Do you ever try the B12 shot stuff or any of that kind of...
No.
No?
You mean
is it affecting you weirdly? What's happening?
No, for like... What?
Is it affecting you weirdly? What are you
No,
what are you
no. I just
about?
Like... I'm hoping... I got like... I got shit I got to do. And like... I can't, like, you know, it's... When you get sick, like, what are the steps you take? Because like, you don't ever stop. So like, what are the things that you do to try and not be sick?
Sleep.
Well... I'm fortunate that I don't get sick very often.
Yeah.
But when I do a lot of placebo things.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I'll take Airborne. And actually, one thing that I was doing for a while that I really liked was apple cider vinegar. Nope. Apple cider vinegar with the veil of the mother in it, which is basically like unfiltered apple cider vinegar. Do a couple tablespoons of that. It's good. It helps your throat.
Yeah.
And it also... I'm not a medicine man, but in my head, the story that I told myself why it worked was that it increased the alkalinity of your blood or something, or is it increasing the acid in your blood? I don't know. I'm not an alternative medicine person. It increases something in your blood, which helps you in ways that are good and beneficial to
Jesus
your
Christ.
Life.
I'll do that too.
But yeah, so I liked apple cider vinegar, and then that's about it.
A lot of people told me like B12 shot in my butt.
I don't know. No. I don't know.
Where do you go get one of those?
You can go to little kind of like holistic places
corner.
Or little like walk-in clinics. We'll give
yeah,
you
let some
shots.
Hipster pull out a needle and shove it in your body.
Why is that? You're so obsessed with hipsters.
What are you talking about?
You really like it's like that's your go-to negative connotation on anybody.
Well, I had to do something after rednecks.
Oh, that's true. We ruined that for him, so now he's
No, I don't know what it is. It's just an easily identifiable group that would work in a store like
but
that.
But I don't think it is. I was having a conversation with somebody.
I'm
about
glad
this
we're
recently.
Breaking this down on the reels.
No, I really don't like. It's like we were talking about
in
right,
Philly.
Like
not Phoenix.
In Phoenix, yeah. There's no real way. Like it's like the way people say that something's a hipster. It can mean like hippie. You kind of get like a pretty good idea of hippie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like beatniks and greasers.
Yeah. My definition of a hipster is that it's basically an aesthetic and that the choices that they make are to to do something ironically rather
but you,
than.
But you can't know. You can't know the intention of what somebody does and why.
Well, I feel yes, Jonah. I agree. Stop the hate, but
no.
Also,
I'm not like you know. I'm not trying to defend any.
No,
subset.
Not at all. No. You're right. You're right. It's bad to label people, but sometimes in comedy we condense things and labels into.
Thanks for booting me out of comedy for a moment.
Well,
to make your points.
Thanks for taking a dumb sarcastic joke and taking it real.
No. But no, because it wasn't so much you, but it was because we were having that conversation. Like it is a thing where people call something hipster, but it's like you know it's hard to tell what it is. That's why I was just wondering.
I think hipsters are basically just trend chasers.
Yeah.
I think hipsters are just trend chasers. Like, yeah. Oh, this is cool, you know. Like,
so, but hipsters could also be referred to as like hippies because hippies was like a fashionable movement. And
no,
so like,
hipsters were never hippies.
I think hipsters came more. I think hipsters are more out of
hipsters,
the beatnik culture than hippie culture.
Yeah, they used the term hipsters in
hipsters
the jazz
beat,
era.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
The slang term for heroin users that developed during the beatnik era.
Yeah.
That's where it comes from.
Yeah, because like when I think of a hipster, I think like someone into Jack Kerouac in the time of Jack Kerouac, like the 50s.
Yeah.
Play
their bongo drums.
Yeah. Sit around and read poetry to each other.
I don't really.
But
have,
now I think of it
I don't
as Brooklyn.
Really actually have a hatred of hipsters. Oh, and I think we are all. I think that's also part of our. Some small part of our DNA as well.
Yeah, I think it's just like what people think about hipsters is just what it's the current fashion trend, if anything. It's just what people are wearing right now.
I think the word trend is the key term there. I think hipster equals trend chaser.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how I see it.
Because guys will look at you and call you a hipster.
They have, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And
probably
like,
more you than me.
Yeah. But
I think, you know, like
there's that thing that someone made where it's like almost like the scale of a, you know, like an ape to man thing.
Yes.
But it's a guy that's like, looks like a. Like a businessman, and like he's looking at like a guy that's in a casual business clothes, going like hipster,
yeah.
And then like the casual businessman clothes, looking at some guy just in a plaid shirt, calling him hipster,
yeah.
And then it just keeps on going. So it's all the perspective.
I think the word just sounds funny to me.
It is. It's a good word.
Why
it's,
I throw it out,
and it's
nice. Also a non. It's a very general term that doesn't necessarily have to offend anyone. It just sounds kind of funny. Like the hipsters.
And I apologize. I didn't mean to like. I was just using it as a conversation.
Well, I'm glad we're. Sorted this out.
we're getting faster at this.
I mean, you know, you just get really analytical when you're sick.
I know. It's because I can't think of anything funny to say, so I just have to talk that way.
Oh, that's really funny. Matt just pulled up a picture of Indiana Jones with a pair of glasses, and it says, "I was indie before it was hipster." That's pretty genius. Pretty genius.
I just silently add things to the podcast now.
Yeah. This is something visual for this audio medium. I
just searched the term hipster. I wanted to see what kind of people came up.
And Indiana Jones came up.
Well, that was one of the images that came up. And then a lot of the images that came up looked like these two.
Yeah.
And then some of the images looked like these two with more piercings.
No, the truth is, you can't really know anyone. You don't know what their story is. And I don't really judge people.
You had an old great joke that was something. I can't remember like the lead up or anything, but the idea of it was like a guy wearing like a dumb shirt. And you say like irony is only a joke when it's between friends. It was something I can't remember. It was an old joke of yours where it's like someone will only think that's funny that you're wearing that if they know who you are. If you're just seeing someone wearing that shirt, you're like, what an idiot.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, everyone has a story, but sometimes in comedy we take shortcuts. To just
like, what would Jonah? I'm gonna show you a picture, of Jonah, and you tell me how would you describe this gentleman? Ready?
Yeah. White.
Jonah only see race.
Okay, so let me describe this picture. It's a young gentleman wearing a cardigan with a double Windsor knotted tie. He has
hang
a curly...
on. The tie is also knit.
It's a knit tie.
Yeah.
His sleeves are pushed up. He has a messenger bag. He has a newspaper boy cap, which may have a different term. He's wearing some very nice looking headphones.
Yep.
And he's got some glasses, not unlike yours. And he's got a thin beard and a curly Q mustache.
That's a hipster.
I would describe him as Irish. He looks kind of Irish,
yeah, right? But like, that's a hipster. Like that, to
I
me,
think
it,
no. I think a hipster.
I think
wears
hipster less
a,
Jonah.
No, I think a hipster wears a cat face sweatshirt.
Oh yeah,
like a thrift store or
like
Salvation Army,
or like the dude's sweater.
And they wear fucking like they wear lensless white frames.
I don't know. That's a
in
wide.
England. I think they call them dickheads. I think the term in England is a great song.
And Nathan Barley, they called them idiots.
I love being a dickhead.
Mm.
Where's the dickhead song? That's a good song.
Yeah, it really works with the visual. So I'd rather not play it.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
But I want to play it. I guess Jonah's the deciding vote.
So, like, more like...
You know, it could really go either way.
God damn it.
No, so I want to hear it. This guy with his stag sweater?
No, well, I don't know. He sort of looks like the Gorton's fisherman.
No, see, that's just a guy that has a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
You think it...
Yeah, there's some people that, like, it's like if you don't have a Patagonia logo on your sweater, you're a hipster.
Yeah, I know. I guess it's a loose...
Nothing wrong
with
that.
That just looks like a fucking Alternativo type.
Alternativo!
That's a picture of Paul McCartney.
I know. I was just going to see what Jonah would say to that.
I just read a great snippet of the new McCartney bio.
You just read? Oh, he's releasing a bio?
He's not. Someone else wrote it. Where did I read it? It was in I don't know what. It wasn't Rolling Stone.
Who gives a shit magazine?
No, it was a but it was really fascinating. Just about the last days.
I don't know why I said
so
that.
according to this bio, can you look that up, Katie? So according to this bio, it's basically a handful of pages from the story, but it's all about the Beatles, like right at the point where they broke up.
Yeah.
And then leading into Paul trying to find his identity, like before he goes into Wings.
Let me tell you, if you want to read a book about that, it's called You Never Give Me Your Money. It's essentially the Beatles right up through the breakup and then the post-Beatles lives and then them having to go, oh shit, we don't have money, let's get back together and do this anthology. It's the whole, and it's like
the anthology was them trying to make money.
Yeah, 95. Yeah,
no.
Yeah, because
95,
1995.
The ABC
the anthology,
series.
The Beatles anthology.
They didn't have money at that point.
There was some troubles.
How? I thought Paul was worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Read the book.
Oh,
it's
but they
amazing.
Didn't have any of the rights to their own songs.
Yeah, read the book. It's amazing.
Oh, did Michael Jackson bought
them? Yeah. So,
and then he ran out of money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what
they're
happens
cursed.
Is, guys, it's a really good book. It's really well researched. And like, it's the most well researched book I've ever seen, and every review of it I've read has said it's Peter Doggett wrote it has said just commented on how meticulous the research is on this book. It's really great.
That's
it's really fascinating.
I was reading pieces. Did you find it yet? Man on the Run. Yeah, that's it. Man on the Run.
It was just like all the stuff with like Asher, all the stuff with Klein, and like it was just, it's amazing.
But in Man on the Run, this segment was talking about how, you know, like when Paul didn't, according to this, he didn't want them to break up.
Right.
And John was like, fuck off, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
And then,
depending on what week it was, yeah.
And then, but it said, you know, while he was off trying to essentially try to really break free from the band and do his own thing, that that at his house in a white Rolls, the other three guys showed up and Lennon scaled the wall of his house with bricks and like broke all the windows out.
Yeah,
like, basically just
because he wasn't coming to the sessions for the last album.
So who's right and who's wrong?
It's interesting if you read it. It's like it's just everybody. I'll tell you who's right. George. Why? Because he just did what George does. He's like, I'll still do the Beatles if you want me to do the Beatles. In the meantime, I'm going to make my own music and we'll be fine.
Did he really think all those things would pass?
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, he really did. He really did. But it's really, it's a fascinating book, and I recommend it to anybody. It's called You Never Give Me Your Money.
All right.
And read it. It's a really good read. It actually opens, they were trying to figure out how much it would cost to put on a Central Park Beatles concert in 1979. Because they were like, well, ouch, we need to do something.
Wow.
And then John died.
So then
they, it's crazy. They would have.
That would have been the highest selling album of all time.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. Whatever. Yeah.
But Wings was one of the biggest bands of that century.
But it's interesting. It's like funny. Like they talk about like Paul, like John just like putting McCartney's name on Give Peace a Chance just like because like that's how he always did it. He's like, well, I guess it's just McCartney, Lennon McCartney. I guess we'll just credit it to both
of
us.
That was a weird thing that McCartney did though where he tried
to get it flipped.
Did he not succeed?
Yesterday. No. Yoko wouldn't let him. Oof. Guys, it's a very interesting tale. I highly recommend it to everybody who has any interest in the Beatles.
Sold.
Did anyone? Do either of you?
If
watch
I can just find a work reason to read it,
maybe we should have Peter Doggett on the podcast.
All right.
Either of you watched the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I sure did, Jonah.
I did not, Jonah.
Well, wasn't for work. You didn't have to.
Yeah,
no, I really enjoyed it. Hall and Oates was. I think my favorite part of that was, well, besides the
Nirvana stuff was great.
Was the Hall and Oates stuff. That's where I come.
You're out
my
of touch,
least
man.
Favorite part was the E Street Band.
So long.
Good Lord, I don't care.
How long?
It was probably 45 minutes just for the E Street Band.
Really?
And if you said to anybody out there, "Hey, did you know the E Street Band got into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?" You'd go, "No. They were inducted like, you know, years ago." Because I just assumed they were in with Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah.
So they didn't need a 45 minute.
Yeah. So he inducted them.
So they got to play some songs that they had already played at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
When Bruce got inducted. And Max Weinberg looks terrible.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Early work, you know? You know what I mean by that? Like a guy who got some work done and then he kept on aging for a long time?
Oh.
Early work.
Oh. Yeah. Is that the key?
I think that's what you can't do it.
You'll do it later.
You can't jump the gun.
I see. So he should have waited.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah,
but in his mind, he was probably like, "I'm going to nip this in the bud now,
yes,
so that no one." But maybe at the time, I don't know.
Yeah. It's.
Do you ever think you'd get work done?
Oh, I mean, it's all I thought about when I was growing up.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's all I was. I hated the way I looked. I hated everything about me.
So you're going to turn yourself slowly into Diana Ross?
This is the plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought, you know,
I don't
like,
think
it's like I was
would.
A kid. You know,
I don't think I will either.
The fact that I was like, it's like I would get liposuction. I would
because it never looks. Like on a guy's face, it always looks right. Like CG.
Yeah.
You go, oh, that looks good for that.
For that, yes.
But exactly. It's not like, I can't tell. But then who knows? Because maybe the really good work, you just can't tell.
Well, I'll tell you what. Like, I don't know what the fuck Mr. Tom Cruise is doing, but whatever it is, I'll do that.
Oh, he's amazing.
Whatever stem cells he's rubbing on his face.
Can we just talk about what a fun podcast that was? That was a fucking fun podcast.
Sure.
It was a good time.
God damn it. He was great.
He was really nice, and then, you know, you look in his eyes and you believe that he's going to invite us over for a movie.
I really do believe that he's going to do that.
That's the trick. I don't think he's looking in the eyes. I think he's looking at the bridge of the nose.
How come?
Who were we just talking? Was that us talking
about? That was us talking about. It was a callback to another episode. We live in a world, and I thought I'd pull from some of the other canon of the Nerdist world.
No, but wasn't that...
Last
oh, no. I was talking to... It was a different podcast I did. We were discussing that.
You do a lot of podcasts.
I do. I did two yesterday.
You're talking about the thing, the nose, the nose thing?
Yeah. Well, it was even before we started recording.
Matt's sort of the podcast. I mean, he's got this one. He's got James Bonding. He's got Phoebe. He's got the Matt and Jonah experience.
This thing, and then I'll go do whatever. If someone needs me to do it and I'm free, I'll be around.
Some
whatever.
Guy waited in line to see us. Didn't want an autograph. Didn't really want to talk. Didn't want a picture. He's like, I just want to give you guys a name for your podcast. I know you don't have one. We're like, okay. He's like, it's the two of you. You're going to be doing this. Like, it's like live shows. We're like, yeah. He's all, call it My Ray or The Highway. And then he disappeared.
Yeah. And I like to think that that was Michael Landon in an A's hat.
Or Roma Downey.
Yeah, I like to go older with the reference.
Okay.
Yeah. Who was that man?
What man? There hasn't been anyone here.
Yeah.
Tonight's exactly. The anniversary, 10 years ago.
Then he finds out how much like money we make. He's like, I'm here to collect.
It's my ray or the high ray. My ray or the high ray or my way or the highway?
No, my ray or the highway. Myra and Ray. And then a highway is the thing you take to get away from a place. Like,
how about this? My way, my ray or the high ray, which is that... The first half of the podcast, you guys are totally sober, and then Jonah gets really high, and then
I go to bed.
Jonah's not really. Well, into
I didn't
that
say it was going to be good.
Yeah.
It's the first half hour, and then the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, I did Doug's like one of those shows, Getting Doug with High, and I, you know, I was like Eric Andre and Roy Scovel and you know Harris Whittles, all these guys that like smoke weed regularly.
Your pot and, friends,
all my weed friends, but like you know they get you know. When they smoke, they kind of get goofy, and I kind of just get sleepy and tired. So I kind of like shut up, and I didn't really want to be there after I got high. And I still hear about it on Twitter. People are going, you really fucked up. You're really bad on that show. I was like, how can I be bad on the show? I just didn't say anything. Like, I was just stoned.
Because you got really high.
Yeah, it's like, and guys take it as like, they think they're insulting me when they say I can't handle my weed.
I don't really remember what that is
like. I don't
like,
care.
But I don't.
It's been a while. Thanksgiving 2007. The last time I got high.
2003 for me. 2003.
So when you stopped drinking, you stopped weeding?
2002. No, I stopped weeding. I never really did that much.
I told you this story before. I don't know.
A friend of mine gave me a pot cookie. I came home at like 3 o'clock in the morning, super drunk. So I was like, let's kick this up a notch. Which, by the way, weed does not kick anything up a notch.
No.
So
it kicks
it over. I was aiming in the wrong direction. I ate a pot cookie, passed out. And then I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning, and all my limbs were numb. And, of course, I thought I was having a stroke so because I'm a hypochondriac. So I called my doctor, and I'm like, look, I had to give him the justification of why it was in my system, which he didn't give a shit about. And then he laughed at me, and he was like, take a Benadryl and go to sleep.
Yeah.
So that's what happened, and that was the last time. Because it turns out you can't control how much weed is in a cookie.
No.
Because it clumps.
No. That's what I hate about people go. It's like, oh... Take half. Just eat half of the cookies. Like, you don't fucking know. There's no science to... You don't know how
It could be the bad half.
Yeah, you don't know how many butter...
I will say, now there is, though, the way that everybody has mastered the art of butter, of cannabis butter.
No, it really depends on your body.
By the way, I do not...
It depends on you and your body.
I'm not inviting a bunch of tweets who are like, hey, bro, here's how you got to do that. I'm not going to do it.
No.
So, back the fuck off, hipsters.
Oh, no. Should you say that? You just gotta kind of corral them together,
and it's just
and like you know, it's like some guy in a suit would probably think that you're a hipster,
and then t-shirts and wear them
ironically. When are we getting t-shirts?
The end. What t-shirts?
They said buy our t-shirts.
I don't know. Well, so I'm kind of circling some Nerdist merch. I think we're gonna.
Oh, was that kind of the idea with the
merch?
Like, what are your favorite quotes?
No, the favorite quotes. Okay, so I asked.
He's writing a book.
I'm not writing a book.
It's a pamphlet.
I just thought it would be a pamphlet.
Kyle's writing stuff down.
How to change your life. I just had on a whim today, I just thought, oh, it'd be really fun to get assemble people's favorite quotes from the podcast. And then, you know, every so often on the website posts like, you know, here are our top 20 inspirational quotes on the podcast. Here are our top 20 filthy quotes on the podcast. Here are top 20 from us or guests or whatever.
Well, you know, there's a girl that's been doing that, littlenerdistthings.tumblr.com.
I did just see that.
Yeah, she's been doing it for a while.
Also, there's a Twitter account called Myra Stenographer that tweets like the weird, stupid shit I say that you guys either ignore on purpose or... Whatever, I think it's adorable. That
stuff, you think it's adorable?
Usually proceeds. I'm going to cut that out.
Yeah,
it has like.
That's so funny that you like that.
Yeah, I do. Of course, I do. It's my name. Why wouldn't I like that, Jonah? Who
is that
going to
be one
like
of the
that?
Quotes now? That's going to be one of the quotes.
It would make me feel uncomfortable.
Oh, well, I don't know. It's like it's got like 500 followers or something like that.
So,
it's cute.
So here's while he's finding.
So I'm saying
that,
is find it, guys.
So here's what I would say. So shoot an email to podcast@nerdist.com, and then in the subject line, just put whatever type of quote you think it is, or if you want to put a bunch of quotes, just make sure that you make the delineation between this is my favorite inspirational quote, this is my favorite silly quote, this is my favorite dick joke. I don't know, and then. And then eventually, every so often, I'll just sort of post, you know.
That's a fun idea.
Neil Gaiman said this, or someone else said this, and Jonah said this, and one time Kyle said a thing, and then...
Yeah, the ones that people on Twitter were attributing to me, I was like, if those are out of context, I just seem like a monster.
In context...
In context, like, it's like if it's a character or something like that, you know. But, like, there was, like, people just going, like, get all the pussies, Jonah Ray. Like, wait. The cocaine's in the back,
didn't do the
Jonah
voice.
Ray.
You didn't do that was a character.
Yeah, that was a character?
It was a
put on a spoof.
Jonah Ray loves pussies and coke. Speaking of pussies and coke, I went to the Spike TV Awards over the weekend.
TV
fucking
Awards?
Great segue.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know.
Great segue, by the way.
Thank you.
What is that?
Spike TV did a thing called the Guy's Choice Awards. And they gave me an award for some reason. I did not belong there. It was a nerd award, basically.
Who were you up against?
I don't know if I was up against anyone, but they just, like, there weren't nominations. They just give you the awards. So, like, Matthew McConaughey won something, and Kevin Hart won something, and Sandra Bullock won something.
Kevin Hart should win everything.
Kevin Hart is so fucking cool. Like, yeah. First of all, the first time I met him was when we did the Chris Paul bowling thing, and he's a fucking great bowler. We beat his team by one pin, and it wasn't because of him. It was because of the pro that he was bowling with.
Yeah, yeah.
In the game we shot, out of five frames, Kevin struck every time, and the pro that he was tagged with had a nine count. Edged by them by one pin, so he actually should have won. But we talked for a little while backstage. He's so fucking nice, like such an incredibly talented guy with an amazing work ethic.
Yeah,
I fucking love that guy.
He's great.
But so it was all of our, you know, like a bunch of Walking Dead people were there, and Riggle and Sandberg, and then Mark Wahlberg was getting an award, and then. But I have to say, it was a very strange thing for me because I've never felt like I belonged at a thing before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I actually felt like, I guess it's okay for me to be here. I've never felt at any...
We're all at CAA, eh?
No, all right.
Guys, what do you think?
I've never felt...
I can't believe this.
Myra Stenographer.
This car picked me up and brought me to this place with my model girlfriend. What's going on? Never felt so included.
Okay. Wait. Hang on.
Just having some fun.
I know it sounds... it probably sounds douchey and humble braggy, but I really don't mean that. But
No. There's no humble in front of that.
Okay. Okay, look.
I'm just here to make it so Jonah felt okay about getting out of bed today.
Okay, listen. Listen. I was never accepted my entire young life. When I worked on Singled Out, it was really the Jenny McCarthy show. I understand that it was a cool job, and I understand that I was lucky to have it, but it still was like,
she was on the cover of magazines.
Yeah.
You were not.
It wasn't even just that, but I remember when MTV had their, I guess in 2001, that would have been what, the 30th year anniversary. And I happened to be in New York for that, and so I called MTV. And they were on the fence as to whether or not they were going to give me tickets to it. Like, even just tickets to it.
Yeah.
And when they did and I showed up, they made me feel bad. And they were like, yeah, you know, they weren't going to give these to you. But then in the end, we just figured, like, why not? And I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
So, you know,
Ricky Rackman's walking in with a ton of people.
Exactly. And so I really never, and especially at these types of red carpet events, I never felt like I belonged. They make me nervous. I feel uncomfortable. I don't like red carpet lines. Like and I know this sounds like luxury first world problem bragging, but it's still like I always felt like I don't belong here. I am out of place, and someone's going to turn around and go, get the fuck out of here, which actually has happened before. This was the first time where I felt that was not a Nerdist event, like the fucking event that I was putting on, where I felt like, oh. And I think that's part of the reason, always feeling like I didn't fit in was why I just started my own thing. Cause I'm like, well, I don't fit in with these other people. So I'm just going to start my own thing and just leave me alone. So
that's
yes,
really cool.
I know that everything I just said sounds really douchey. You could tell me I'm a piece of shit on the comment threads and that
I had a good time with it. I took care of it for everybody.
But I don't know. I think it's like, you know,
I still have feelings.
Why do you like, you know, we're at a point now where there's no hiding that you're a celebrity and that
you know,
it's like you're a public figure, you're successful. It's you know,
we are at a point now. I don't think you should apologize for that anymore. I know, like you can, you know, have like a people's, like, you know, like you came from the ground up kind of thing. I don't think you should apologize for it. I don't think you should feel embarrassed by it.
You put in the work, so you should enjoy it. But the problem is that, you know, like anyone else, if I see someone that I deem as like, well, how can your life suck and you're fucking complaining about stupid shit when other people have real problems? Like, I don't want it to seem like I don't appreciate everything that's happened or that I think my life is so much harder. I mean, it's still...
You're just talking about feelings, Chris. That's okay.
Nothing more than feelings?
Yeah, no, but you're just talking about how you feel in the situation.
I will say, though...
You can have feelings. I'm just supposed to be a dick.
Sort of the mild celebrity thing is weird. It does feel weird, and it doesn't feel like I thought it would feel. It feels strange.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, I just didn't really understand... It's not bad. It's not good. It just feels...
It's different.
It just feels different.
Hang on. This is interesting to me.
What?
So, like, when you say the moderate... celebrity thing. So, like, do you feel self-conscious about, like, when you're out at an airport or when
I do feel self-conscious. Yeah, yeah. I do feel self-conscious because...
That's interesting to me.
Because... And it's not something that I ever would have thought that I would feel, but self-conscious to the point where, you know, it has bled over into areas where, like, I close curtains and stuff. Not because I think anyone gives a shit, but it's just, like, that's sort of...
Close curtains.
I just sort of get used to...
In the first class cabin?
No, and like in my home. but it is sort of, it's a strange thing to be somewhere and then just have someone go, hey, I just saw you picking your nose. And you're like, wait, who said that?
Oh,
that's
wow.
Fuck. Who said that? You know, like, yeah. It's not a complaint. It's not a complaint, but it does make you more self-aware, which I actually think is a good thing to a degree.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, it just makes you more conscious of how you are communicating with people and not being a dickhead.
Yeah.
You know?
And I mean, that's the thing I noticed with Tom Cruise is he, you know, very much aware.
We're on the same, like, you know.
No, but he's had to deal with it for like, you know.
34 years.
Yeah, exactly. And you can tell that he's very aware that like something he can say can mean a lot more than it should. And so like, even when you're like, what movies are you watching right now? He's like, all movies. I love all movies. Like, you know, he it's almost like he didn't want to like even endorse or deny.
I noticed that with George Lucas when I interviewed George Lucas for something and I'd asked him, you know, like, oh, what's your favorite something or other, and he didn't really and what I realized was, oh yeah, because if he endorses something or every time he opens his mouth, it's going to hurt someone's feelings, and then a bunch of people or they can use it and be like, George Lucas said,
and they can
kind of like use his name. And so it's sort of a strange.
And I think that's kind of how, like, I think that's how Tom Cruise is. And I think that's what, like, the place you're getting into, or it's like, you know, there's more people listening to the things you say. So you can't just go, I don't know, that's just sex. You can't just say that because it's like the
throwaway. I will say, and again, it's not, and I'm never going to get Tom Cruise status, and I don't care. I don't want that. But I mean, I just think.
Of course you're not going to get Tom Cruise status. No one will ever
have it again. I just have to disclaim everything that I say.
No, what I'm saying is, like, no one will ever get there again.
But I will say that, and I think maybe. I think maybe this is some of the thing that got to Chappelle a little bit was that, you know, you're a comic and you just say things and you just throw away jokes and you don't think about them. But now, particularly in the social media age, there's not as much of a thing as throwaway jokes anymore. Everything you say can have ramifications.
Myra Stenographer.
And Myra Stenographer.
_ Stenographer. I found it. And it has 90 followers. So
500.
I thought it had 500.
That's perfect. Like your perception and the reality.
And I will gladly admit that that's what happened.
You know what?
That's fine with me.
Myra Stenographer to 500. Let's hashtag it and get it going.
No,
nah,
no. You know how it's going to.
What are some of the
like 5,000?
What are some of the quotes on Myra Stenographer?
Let's see if I can have it still pulled up, which I do.
The most retweeted one is good joke, Jonah.
This from
you were right to take me down, Jonah.
I don't even know if it's an active account anymore. I hasn't tweeted since April
18th. I did nothing. You see,
or maybe I just haven't been on the podcast since April 18th. Quote, which fat role made you come the hardest? It's my dad with his dick in someone's mouth. There's no part of that equation I like. I don't know what that's in reference to.
Who can remember?
I'm so shitty at jokes.
I'm going to have to find that account and retweet that. I'm going to have to get that one going.
Shit on a waitress shrimp. Shit on a waitress shrimp on the Barbie at Outback. I don't know what that is in reference to.
This is exactly
your
point.
Oh, I'm not good at being a human being.
Well, that's your mantra.
Yeah, that's not the bio of that?
Which, no, the bio is even better. The bio is, I don't know what I'm doing with my life.
And that's actually not even in regards to you. That's in regards to the person.
The person making the account, yeah. Of course it is.
It should also say author of the Myra
Method.
Of course
it is. Of course it is.
Of course it is. Of course it's not in reference to me. I mean, give me a reference to me. Myra _ stenographer.
That's
give it a follow.
Really funny. Yeah, Myra _ stenographer. Hopefully it'll fire back up now that,
I
you
don't
know.
Think so. Well, we're not on the podcast anymore.
I know, but you are now, and we're making concerted efforts to make sure that everyone's on the podcast as much as possible. More hostfuls, even
turns
if that
out
means
all it takes is this guy emailing people, and then it happens. Like,
even if that means doing 4 episodes a week so we can get a hostful up.
Why don't we just schedule less guested ones?
Because it's hard for me to
here's
say.
The thing. Here's
it's
my question.
About, it's always like one guest begets another thing.
Sure, I get it. But here's the thing with the 4. I'm just looking at your schedule in a week, right?
Mm-hmm.
Especially because you want to hit the road again, start doing more stand-up. You got to prep your hour.
It's true. I'm going to Portland this weekend.
Yeah, you're going to Portland. I believe that next week, for some reason, we're taping 2 shows on Tuesday, and you're getting out of here early on Wednesday so you can go do something crazy.
I'm hosting something for someone at Comedy Central.
Right. Okay. So, but what I'm saying is, like, you have to bail out on Thursday to go do stand-up.
Yeah.
We only have 3 days a week where we're all here.
That's right.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that Jonah can come visit us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
in between his battles of almost colds.
So, booking 4 podcasts in those 3 days is crazy pants.
I hear what you're saying.
I'm just saying, why not schedule?
Think of me like Walt Disney, standing in an orange grove saying, we can put petting zoos and Matterhorns in this terrain.
He only achieved 1 Matterhorn.
Technically, Space Mountain is also a Matterhorn. They're both bobsled rides. I was trying to do THX, but
yeah, we've done that before.
I think we have. Yeah, Furman and I used to do that. We used to carry around this shitty giant poster board where we'd made the THX logo just for that joke. Where at the beginning, we would go, and I would go down, and he would go up, and then we would lift the THX sign.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
I didn't remember that. I didn't remember that.
Another thing to carry around.
Dee and I have one of those things where it's like Key and Peele's, like the production cards, where it's like I'll go zum, 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 and then she goes, oh yeah, which are like the sound bites with the production cards on the end. I got to do a sketch on Key and Peele.
What?
Yeah, it was really, really cool.
What was that about?
It was like a real small part. But like,
he explained it to me, and it was very funny.
Yeah, it's very, very funny. And then like the other sketch they were shooting that day was like really awesome. It's a Urkel sketch. Okay. It's just those guys, just getting to watch them in real life. And they're such awesome guys and nice guys. And like it's one of my favorite sketch shows of all time, I think. And it's just seeing them actually do it in real life was the most astonishing thing. It was amazing. Like total commitment, total energy, and just nice to everybody. They were like with Peter Atencio, it's just everyone on that set is having fun. Everyone's like, guys are like throwing joke ideas out there. It's such a crazy, awesome environment.
It's so hard to do a sketch show, and it's hard to do a sketch show well.
Yeah.
It's amazing what those guys do. It is absolutely amazing what those guys do.
Yeah.
If you doubt how hard it is to do a sketch show, how many are there on television?
And how long do they last?
Not very long.
Yeah.
Good answer, both of you. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And then also the episode of Adventure Time I was on aired, and that was a lot of fun to see that. Yeah,
that's
one of my favorite shows.
Nice.
Too. Yeah, it was really cool.
Look at this guy. You enjoying your free time?
I don't have much free time.
Hang on. Let me rephrase the question. Are you enjoying all the stuff you're doing?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
I guess I meant free time away from...
You meant free time away from a staff job? Is that what you meant?
Yeah.
Things? It's great. Yeah. I'm getting like, it's like, you know, when I was at the Soup, it was hard to get away to like go to auditions and to like be able to go and get that stuff or be available for stuff, especially with Key and Peele. You know, they've asked me a couple other times throughout the years to do it, but I couldn't because of something, you get asked the day before for that stuff. So being available because of that. And then, like, you know, I get more time during the day to write. I've been writing a lot of stuff with Sean O'Connor and you know, shooting stuff for other people. It's great. I'm getting more done now than I ever did,
at a staff job, because it's like, you know, I only have so much energy and resources inside me creatively. And so when I'm like, you know, putting it out there for a staff job, I find like I have a hard time rallying outside of that to do more.
Yeah.
And I know that's part of it, but like, it was like between like, you know, like, so you're writing all day for this one thing, but then you also have to think of new stand up, but then you also have to think of like script ideas or like sketch, you know, there's.
Listen, Jonah, if not everybody can do it, I'm having a great time.
Working on the staff show?
And doing all that other bullshit. And
doing all the other stuff.
But I don't get to go do things like day of, day next day.
Yeah.
I like freedom. Doing all the other stuff. I like doing all the different stuff, because then you never get bored.
Yeah.
I never get bored.
Yeah, oh, no, I would go insane. I dig it. Like, I don't even like time off. Like, I'm not looking forward
I'm
to
I'm sorry if I got
off.
Complaining. I wasn't trying to be complaining before, you know.
About what?
About what?
About work stuff, you know.
What oh, you no.
Complaining about it. I have a very charmed life.
I didn't think you were.
All right.
I didn't feel you were complaining about it. I think that's
because your third eye is blind. Yeah.
I think that's you actually just saying that now again. Like it's a testament to the point that I was trying to make. It's like, don't feel guilty about it. It is your life, and you can't apologize because other people don't have
but it. But the thing that's fascinating to me about it is that it's weird, and no one tells you how to what it feels like and how to prepare for it and how to I guess some people just don't give a fuck.
I feel
and
like
that's
the way you feel like in life. Right? The way you feel like in your everyday life is like how Jonah and I might feel at a Comic-Con. You know what I mean? Like, because there's enough people there that, like, if we walk around, we're going to run into some fans of us just because, but they're all gathered in one spot. Whereas with you, it's more spread out for you, but in daily life, like, you know, 8 million people are watching, you know,
Talking
Dead.
It's not
dead,
bad. I mean, like, and again, it's
no,
not,
I know, it's
not
bad
at all. I'm
it's
just saying,
bad.
I'm
it's
saying
an interesting thing to have to deal with all the time.
The experience of it is really odd, and it's changed a lot in the
like
last
few
years.
Like, you got to tip a little bit more, you know? You got to be like,
I did that before.
Well, I know,
I did that before because my job in college, I worked for tips.
Yeah.
And so I always, ever since.
I always throw $5. If I go to an ice cream place, I throw at least $5 in, regardless of what
just
I get.
Just because you want them to start singing, huh?
Yeah. No. I used to manage an ice cream shop, and I loved tips. They were very helpful to me when I was making $9 an hour.
Well, I have to go.
You're fine. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter.
We're rehearsing today.
Don't worry about it.
Because the
don't worry about it.
Jump Street cast is on the.
Oh, that's right.
On the show.
But yeah, don't apologize for your own life and success. I think that's
I think it's really interesting. I think we should talk about it more.
I just like to analyze everything to an annoying degree, and you know, and where most people just be like, just shut up and live your life. Like, yeah, I know, but I just want to understand.
No, I want to know about this. I would like to talk about this more.
And I don't. I wouldn't
hostful.
Say
just be
in 6 months when we sit down for another hostful. I want to talk about.
We have one scheduled for next week.
I can't make it.
Okay,
probably.
All right, good. More hostfuls. I've missed you both. I'm glad your show went well. I hope
it
you
did.
Feel better.
I hope
me
we
too.
Can get the file in a position where we can enjoy it. And Katie, don't let me forget to give that to you.
I thought you said you were sending to a guy in Germany.
Ireland. I haven't heard from him yet, but I'm hearing
Germany,
from Katie
Ireland.
Right now.
I think people are really going to like it.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
A lot of fun.
Just scrub that one.
Yeah, I got to scrub it and then add the Zoom, which picked up the audience. Slap them together and
yeah.
make a thing.
In and then the audience. All right.
Oh, also real quick to listeners, Meltdown with me and Kumail got a premiere date July 23rd after at midnight. It's a Wednesday night, so it's technically Thursday morning.
But
it's after at midnight on a Wednesday.
That's also,
which is great.
On that day, you guys are all going to – you, Kumail, and Emily are on at midnight.
Yes, exactly. We'll be on
– you're a one-hour block.
Yeah. It's like we're going to go – we're essentially going to shoot our episode of at midnight. We're going to go and do the live show. Because it's on Wednesday nights, and then we're going to go somewhere and watch the TV show version of it.
Hashtag butts, hashtag snack dick.
Those are both for Kumail.
Hashtag.
Well, now.
Hashtag. Have you really ever stopped to think what was really going on with someone wearing clothes that you might consider a hipster? That's more than 140 characters.
I told you. I'm too sincere when I'm not feeling well.
Oh, so that's when your defenses come down.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
It's when I get drunk or it's when I don't feel well. It's every time I get drunk.
Yeah.
Deanna, she's like, okay, here comes the drunk philosopher here to talk about art and friendship.
So that's 7 nights a week.
Yeah. Sure.
All
right, everyone. Enjoy your burrito.
Snack dick.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.